Several years ago, I was watching probably Comedy Central or something, and I was listening to Wanda Sykes. A few people are already chuckling, golly. So one part of her routine really hit home to me, even though I'm a very different person than her. She talked about this phenomena. Have you ever been lying in bed and you start thinking? You start thinking about everything you got to do the next day. And you start thinking about everything you did today and all the mistakes you made and how you're going to have to fix them tomorrow. And then you start thinking about the things you got to do in 3 days and the things you got to do in 2 weeks from now and how are you going to pay this bill. And you think and you think and you think and you think. And then she said, and then you roll over and you look at your little digital clock that's lit up at night, and it says it's 2:30 in the morning and you got to get up in 4 hours. And you know, you realize it's going to be a really hard day tomorrow because you didn't get enough sleep. And then the way she ended is, and then you start to think about it. Good, you all laugh bigger than the morning thing. I must be getting better in my delivery. Sometimes our minds are full of thoughts, but they are definitely not minds at peace. Anyone identify with that feeling? Sometimes our hearts are not at peace. Our hearts feel heavy or stressed, with worry, with anger, with pain. Sometimes our households aren't at peace. Sometimes even at Christmas time, our households aren't at peace. And I don't mean just because there's a lot of extra guests in the household, which is a really good thing, everybody. And we know our world's not at peace. There are wars that trouble many nations. There are violent acts driven by hate that happen in our nation and other nations. There is crime and brokenness that affects people from here in Sterling to the ends of the earth. And all of these things do not help any of us feel peaceful. And I'm not even going to get into all of the last-minute preparations that we're probably all making today and the incredible, crazy calendars that we set for ourselves this time of year. And you know what? Though our lives are very, very different from those from theirs, I think that Joseph and Mary could identify with not being at peace. First off, Mary was pregnant. Very pregnant. Hence, she was uncomfortable and probably not quite herself as her young body prepared to do something it had never done before and as she prepared for the ordeal of labor. And Joseph, well, he had a pregnant spouse to care for, and he probably had some sort of a living to earn, and he may or may not have really been in his hometown because he was with Mary in Nazareth, more on that in a moment. And then there was almost certainly the talk and the gossip and the fact that, why was Mary pregnant? What had happened? Had something happened that wasn't supposed to? And there was the gossip and people wondering and probably sticking their nose in where it didn't belong. And all of that right there probably didn't make for the most peaceful time for Joseph and Mary. And then they got a bomb dropped on them from above, so to speak. The Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus, declared that the Roman Empire needed a census. Now, when we take a census every 10 years, at least in theory, it's to help make sure we have equal representation in government and to get a better idea of who really lives in our communities. And frankly, I think that's probably a good thing for our democracy if it's done well. Roman censuses didn't have anything to do with equal representation in government. They wanted to know who lived where and how much they earned, so they knew how much of this stuff they could squeeze out of people. The Romans wanted their money, and that's what the census was about. So this is where it gets tricky. On one level, if Joseph lived in Nazareth and made his living in Nazareth, it wouldn't have made any sense for him to have to go to Bethlehem to register for the taxes. That just doesn't make any sense. But a lot of people think, and I'm inclined to agree with them, that probably because Joseph's ancestry, as one scripture translation put it, because his clan was headquartered in Bethlehem, he was getting some income in some way, shape, or form from something going on in Bethlehem. Maybe he owned a share of some land or a share of a farm or something like that. It's hard to know. But for whatever reason, he needed to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem to register to pay his taxes. And I want to emphasize, he had to go. You did not say to the Romans, oh, I can't register for my taxes on time. Can I have a grace period? Rome didn't do grace. The best thing that would happen to you is they'd take everything you own and sell it. The worst thing that could happen to you, well, we're not going to go there. Rome wanted their money, and they didn't care how much blood they had to spill to get it. And so Joseph had to go. And we're not entirely sure why Mary had to go as well, but it could have been very well been that because taxes were a tense time, because censuses were a tense time, they often led to violence and rebellions, and Joseph and Mary may have wanted to stay close to each other. We don't really know. The Bible doesn't give us all the details. It's a funny thing, Roman history, that Jesus was born into. The Romans called it the Pax Romana, which means the Roman peace. Sounds nice, doesn't it? You got to remember what kind of peace it was. A few decades after Jesus, a man from Britain described what the Romans called peace like this: to ravage, to slaughter, to usurp under false titles, they call empire. And where they make a desert, they call it peace. In other words, Roman peace meant do what you're told, and if you even say something we don't like, we'll kill you and sell your kids into slavery. And this happened many times. In fact, to Judea, where Jesus grew up, twice there would be rebellions and the Romans would come in and wreak great devastation. It's interesting. The Romans called Caesar Augustus the bringer of peace because he had ended a war. And they saw him as a peacemaker. But the kind of peace that he brought was peace with a sword and absolute tyranny and oppression. Thank God that God was sending us the true Prince of Peace, a kind of peace that was very different than that of Rome. So with the threat of the Romans hanging over their heads, Mary and Joseph packed up, stressed and uncomfortable as they were, and they hit the road. Maybe on a donkey, but let's be honest, the Bible never actually says there was a donkey involved. It was a 7 to 10 day trek. The mountains weren't that high, but there were a lot of ridge lines, and there were a lot of valleys, and there was a lot of up and down in the distance between Nazareth and Bethlehem. And Mary, day by day, was getting closer and closer to the time of her delivery. It's possible that Joseph and Mary thought they'd be able to get to Bethlehem and back before Mary delivered. It's possible Jesus came a little early. Both our kids did. But whatever happened, and why ever it happened, when they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor. Now, the house was full. Probably they were trying to stay at one of Joseph's relatives' houses. But the house was full. Or maybe they did try to stay in an inn. But whatever, wherever they were trying to stay, there was not room for Mary to have the privacy and the space that she needed to deliver a child. And there was this other odd thing. To deliver a child would make the area where she delivered the child ritually unclean. And so they took her to a place that was already unclean and had a little more space, a stable. The traditions in Bethlehem say it was in a cave underneath a house. So this 14 or 15-year-old girl with a new father and a baby who was going to save the world, though that baby came into this world surrounded by animals, laid in a manger for a bed, and the only good thing I can say is maybe the body heat from the animals made sure that it wasn't too cold in there. And I hope the animals didn't baa or moo or whatever else a little too loud as Mary shouted, bringing her baby into this world. It was dirty. It was smelly. It was not a place that Joseph and Mary wanted to be. They were in a time of stress, and they knew that in any moment there might be violence that would break out outside the doors. And that's how the Word of God become flesh came into this world. The Prince of Peace was born in terrible, unsanitary conditions. Isn't that amazing that that's how God chose to have God's child born into this world? And that baby would grow up to talk of peace, but not peace from a sword. It would rather be the peace that comes from knowing that God loves every one of us and desires a relationship with us. The peace that comes from knowing that no matter what, we can be forgiven and we can forgive each other. The peace that comes from putting God first and letting God guide our lives. The peace that comes from loving our neighbors no matter what. That is the peace that Jesus came to bring. Now, don't get me wrong, Jesus raised his voice a few times, literally had a fight with some people who were trying to cheat the religious pilgrims at God's temple. Jesus called us out, and Jesus expects us to live in peace, to live in justice, to treat each other with decency. But the point was not, I'm the king, do whatever I tell you to do. The point was, let us live in accordance with God and in a way that will bring right relationship to all of us. There's a saying I've seen on the internet quite a bit the last few years, and it's K-N-O-W, no justice, K-N-O-W, no peace. In other words, when we all work for things to be better for everyone, we all find greater peace. And that points to the kind of world that Christ wants to bring into this world, a world of justice, a world of peace. So Christ's message is about, in part, peace on the global level, but what about our own human hearts as well? Joseph and Mary were under great and profound stress, and the Prince of Peace came to them. During the great stress in our lives, during the worry and the chaos in our lives, the Prince of Peace offers to come to us as well. Christ reminds us that in the midst of life, we can find the quiet center and the strength that we need. Our lives can be full of worry, and so Christ taught us, do not worry, because it cannot add a single day to our lives. Our hearts may feel trouble, but Christ offers peace to them. My heart felt a lot of trouble this week. There were a lot of worries and stress on my mind. Christ offered me some peace, and I'm still working on letting my heart fully accept all the peace that Christ is offering. Maybe that's the same for a lot of you today as well. Christ's peace does not mean that everything's going to go perfect all the time. Christ said that to truly follow him might mean that you have to carry a cross, figuratively or literally. Jesus does not promise there'll never be trouble, but Jesus promises that the love of God can give us the strength and the peace to carry on. That the love of God can give us the peace that we can share with this world, and that we can be part of making peace in this world. I read a story several years ago as part of some education I was supposed to do for a job. The story was about two men. They were on a subway in Japan. The first man was drunk, was raging, was yelling and screaming at people, was scaring people. Another man saw this man causing commotion on the subway car, and instead of cowering in fear from him, he walked over to the man who was shouting. And he sat down next to the man, and he started quietly and gently talking to him. It turned out that the drunken man had just lost his wife. He was in complete despair. He was crushed. He had no idea how he could carry on in his life. And yet that other man who came to him had some peace in his heart, and he sat with that angry man and let that man cry for a while and admit what he was feeling and hopefully share a little bit of the peace in his heart to someone who needed some peace in their heart. Now, the book that I read this out of was a book on psychology, so it made no mention of any religious overtones or any religious beliefs that either of these men might have had. But it's a sign that peace can be shared from person to person. And I have no doubt that Christ was working through that peacemaking man as he tried to offer a little bit of peace and comfort to someone who was in great pain. Through Jesus Christ, we are all offered peace in our hearts, peace that can calm and still our fears, peace that can change our lives. The peace and the love that Christ offers can change everything. And that peace can be contagious. We can share that peace with others. We can be peacemakers in our schools, in our offices, in our factories, in our neighborhoods. And if enough of us in this world are peacemakers, the big conflicts can find solutions as well. So on this day, when we remember that Jesus came to us, and we remember the many, many, many gifts that came to us when Christ was born, may we remember that Christ offers us peace. Peace that passes understanding in the face of whatever is in our lives, and peace that we can accept more day by day, and peace that can change us, and peace that can equip us to be peacemakers in a world that needs peace. May we feel and accept and soak in this peace, and may we share it with all we meet. In Christ's name. Amen.